The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
So underrated. Radio
X. Thank you very much for downloading the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin, who returns after 5 weeks of podcast duty.
Something like that, yeah.
Like a long time off. It's great to have you back, Vin.
Thanks, man.
He's had a wonderful time in India after looking at tigers.
Yeah. And then sometimes I went outside.
Sometimes, and you watched cricket for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's all you did. Right, we've got Vampire Weekend for you on the evening show. We've got Ezra and loads of other little bits in between.
That's right, it was Vampire Weekend night. The album's out, it's doing brilliantly.
Father of the Bride, and which we now have realised is probably about Rashida Jones.
Well, he was a bit coy, wasn't he?
He was. It's definitely about Quincy Jones, isn't it?
You think so?
Definitely about the great man. So all of that, and we've got Kings of Leon conversation and Taskmaster, Vin, which was a real treat this week.
Yeah, we had some fun with that. I love Taskmaster.
It's my dream to be on Taskmaster. It looks like one of the best shows in the world. And me, Dan O'Connell and Toby Tarrant went head to head in a challenge that will make you laugh, hopefully, when you hear it. It got ridiculously competitive. Have a little listen to how we got on, blowing up balloons, smashing up briefcases, and all the rest. Please enjoy the Evening Show podcast, and if you do, leave us a little review, tell all your friends.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I'm Gordon Smart. This is the Evening Show. We are celebrating Vampire Weekend night. That was Cousins, by the way, from their second album, Contra. But tonight we are celebrating Father of the Bride, and not that long ago, just a few days back, we had a bit of a chat with Ezra from the band. He came in for a blether downstairs just as he was on his way to record a sound check for those session tracks we're going to play you later on. So Ezra, in conversation with Radio X, celebrating the album Father of the Bride. I'm Gordon Smart, this is Radio X, welcome to the evening show. We have a very special guest, Ezra from Vampire Weekend. The last time we met was digitally via FaceTime. It was debut, Ezra, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm like Rip Van Winkle. The last time I was doing interviews for an album, nobody did FaceTime interviews.
Yeah.
So I like woke up that morning and I like kind of looked at the schedule and I was like, I was ready to get on the phone. And I was like, I really felt like I was stepping into the future.
But Ezra, you are here to talk about Father of the Bride. So I think just before that, it was still known as Mitsubishi Macchiato was the holding name.
Right.
You explained everything about Father of the Bride last time, but you told us that it was written on one unplugged electric guitar. But what I really want to know is, who's the first person you play songs to when you've written them?
It's not always any one person, but I have an inner circle of people that I really trust. And between them, it covers a lot of bases musically. And none of them are particularly interested in mid-2000s indie rock, or whatever you would call the Vampire Weekend wave. So then, there's my girlfriend Rashida, who I always play stuff for. And so I'm always like very interested to see what she likes, and where she falls. And her favorite music of all time is 90s R&B. So it's very, very far away, but she still recognizes when a song is good and she has something interesting to say. Then, of course, there's a producer I worked with a lot on this album, Ariel Rechscheid, and he and I have more similar backgrounds. We were both very heavily into ska in the 90s. He had a great ska punk band when he was a teenager called The Hippos. But actually, you occasionally meet people in America who'll be like, Ariel from The Hippos? Be like, yeah, he also produced, Haim and Adele. And then they'll just be like, no, The Hippos, come on. So he and I have very similar tastes. But then there's also on another poll, there's my buddy Dave Maklovich, and he's this band Chromeo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and so I've known him for a long time because he was a graduate student at Columbia when I was an undergrad. He was getting his PhD in French literature, and he's a very intellectual guy, but he also just loves music. And his bread and butter is hip-hop and, funk, really. But he's always been interested in Vampire Weekend, and he's always kind of given me guidance. So if I can play all those people a group of songs and they all find something to like about one, it's such a good sign.
So Ezra, you've very kindly recorded some session tracks for us here at Radio X. The first one is Harmony Hall, which is a beautiful, beautiful song. Just fantastic, because I think a lot of your music's quite intense. Like something like Cousins, is like, you feel quite wound up
by it.
But this has just got a beautiful ambient, sort of quite a soothing sound to it.
Oh, thank you.
Can you, again, paint a little picture for us here of your recollections of when that song first came together?
Well, I remember two distinct parts, and they were years apart, because I remember kind of coming up with this melody in my head and this lyric about Harmony Hall years ago. And then there was kind of a built-in chord progression, so I'd sit down at the piano and play it, and it started very Baroque. And there's still like a little piece of that in the song. And then just little by little, I just started playing it more like in a house style. And just became this house thing. And then I also had this, for a while, I just kept saying, I want to make a baggy song. And also, you also got to understand, in America, nobody knows what baggy is. Yeah. So it's and you can say, well, remember that song, Yeah, Unbelievable? That's the only song. That was the only song that was like a hit. And people be like, oh, yeah. And be like, that's baggy. And they're like, okay, I think I've heard of that. Yeah. But I also just enjoy saying baggy because it's such a novelty.
It's good.
So I'd be like, we got to make a baggy song.
Yeah.
So I had that, like, whatever, the baggy moment for a long time. And then... But that felt a bit incomplete, and it wouldn't really be a Vampire Weekend style to just make a baggy song. It has to be baggy plus at least two or three other things.
So here we go, the first ever baggy baroque song from New York. This is recorded at Islington Assembly Hall by the very brilliant Vampire Weekend.
Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
So that was Harmony Hall, Vampire Weekend. Ezra is with us right here at Radio X today. Thanks for coming in, Ezra.
Thank you.
So I mentioned earlier on that the holding title was Mitsubishi Macchiato, which has a real energy to it.
Yeah.
And I think it definitely, you can feel that vibe through all Vampire Weekend music. I think it's quite a good title for everything you've written. But what I'd like to know is, if you were taking somebody for a Mitsubishi Macchiato, there's four parts to this question, so I'll try and break it down for you. Where would you take them?
Yeah.
Who would you take? What would you buy them to drink? And what music would you put on to listen to while you had your conversation?
Good question.
You could start with the drink and the venue, if you like.
This is just on my mind, because last summer we were in Japan, and, you know, like all musicians, Japan's one of everybody's favorite place to go. You know,
going to
Tokyo. It's amazing. It's very familiar in a lot of ways, and then there's also things you never experience anywhere else. One thing that I particularly enjoyed, just having a coffee all the time in Japan. There's, like, you know, it's one of, like, the great coffee cities of the world.
Yeah.
There's like a cool street with a lot of clothing stores in Tokyo. It's like, it's one of the classic streets called Cat Street. It's easy to remember. Cat Street. So I remember there's, like, a cafe right at the top of Cat Street that we went to a lot.
So you're in Cat Street in Tokyo, you're having a coffee.
Yeah.
Who's your guest and what are you listening to?
Well, maybe I'll just say, because it's political, and since I've been doing press, people have asked me about it, I'll say Bernie Sanders. Because he's somebody that, you know, Vampire Weekend campaigned for. He's obviously in the news. And, you know, I've had my brief moments with him on stage, and he's very polite, and he thanks everybody at the end of every event. But I never really got to chop it up one-on-one with him, so it could be interesting to, you know, say, Bernie, you came all the way to Tokyo to have a coffee with me. Yeah. Let's keep it real for a second. You know, what's really going on?
Yeah.
You know, because with politics, it's so funny, you know, we all support people, whether you literally campaign or you just vote for them, you support these people and you read about them and you watch them speak, but to really have a off-the-cuff conversation where I'd be like, you know, enough with the talking points, Bernie.
Yeah.
What's really going on behind the scenes?
I'd love to hear that conversation.
Yeah.
I've no idea about his music taste at all. So what would you play? You can say Father the Bride if you like as well. Talk him through it track by track.
I would give him a track by track breakdown of Father the Bride. I mean, I assume that Bernie's taste in music is probably, like, you know, Bob Dylan and some 60s stuff. So, maybe I'd play him something new.
Yeah.
Just to kind of see what his take was.
Sounds like a good date, you know. I'd love to come in and enjoy that coffee with you. Now, Ezra, you've recorded these great tracks for us in Islington. The next one we're going to play is Sunflower.
It's interesting. That's one of those songs that, I mean, the riff in the song, it borderline sounds like a guitar exercise, because it kind of starts like you're running up a Mixolydian scale, bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
So I think I kind of just, it's one of those songs you pick up a guitar, you know, every time you're at the studio or at home, and little by little you just keep going back to the same place, and then suddenly you go a little higher, and then you start coming back down, and ba-da-da, ba. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, it's more than just an exercise.
Yeah.
It's a riff. So I probably pieced that out little by little over weeks, just picking up a guitar.
Right, this is Sunflower by Vampire Weekend, recorded at Islington Assembly Hall on Radio X.
Radio X. Smart.
Radio X. The Evening.
Evening Show Classic Album of the Week.
Right, we've had a few recently from a long, long time ago, so something from a little bit more recently in history. Kings of Leon, Only by the Night, their fourth album from September 2008. Still 11 years ago. And yeah, me and Vin just looking at each other thinking, do you remember 2008? No, neither of us remember 2008. How about this for a list of songs on it? Use Somebody. You can't really say these songs without saying them as they're sung. Use Somebody, Revelry, Notion, Closer, 17, and of course the monster hit, Sex on Fire. Or if you're a young person listening, that's not really what I'm talking about. Here's Caleb Followell, frontman of the band, with Nathan, explaining what that song is all about.
Do your kids have any concept of you, Nathan, and what you are and your fame or anything like that?
Yeah, anytime she hears Kings of Leon, like that's Uncle Caleb singing and that's Daddy on the drums. And
are you prepared for the difficult questions then? What is that? What does that song mean?
Yeah, socks on fire.
It's just socks.
Uncle Caleb's socks caught on fire one night. He was drying them out on the heater.
Right, there you go. That's what it was all about. Now, we are talking about Only by the Night. It was hugely successful. Top 10 all over the world, massive in Australia. US did very well and brilliantly here as well because they won 2 Brit Awards and they were nominated for a Grammy. It was written just after they had finished because of the times. They got stuck straight in. I think a lot of it was written on the tour bus, actually. The band had got bigger and bigger and bigger, more anthemic, and then they continued the process with this album. It is a stadium rock album. Absolutely nailed on stadium rock. Now, the band's success in Australia meant another song was released, Manhattan. That was a new single just down under. I love that tune as well. It's brilliant. The song Notion entered the Billboard Hot Alternative chart in the US. Now, pub quiz fans, here is one for you. It made Kings of Leon one of only 5 bands ever to have 3 songs in the top 20 at the same time. I'd love to give you other ones, but I'm going to have to go and look it up. Use Somebody was the second single. Lovely little line from the NME. They called it easily the best 80s power ballad of 2008. Brilliant little line. 83936 at Radio X. Get in touch with your memories of this album, Only by the Night, from Kings of Leon. I remember I presented them with an award from the newspaper I was at the time to congratulate them on that best album. And I seem to remember the atmosphere was a little bit sketchy. Not very friendly at the time. I think they might not have been getting on very well. Then I went to see them in New York not long after that, and everything was fine. But both those performances I remember very well because they were electric. What a live band. I remember they'll be in this country this year at Sefton Park for Fusion Presents as well. And I would imagine both of these songs will be on the set list. Classic album tonight, Only by the Night. I've got Sex and Fire in a second, but right now, Revelry.
The Evening Show, Classic Album of the Week.
X.
Dancing machine with the fire in my bones and the sweet taste of kerosene. I get lost in
the Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
The Evening Show Classic Album of the Week.
X.
So many good songs to celebrate on that album, Kings of Leon, Only by the Night, their fourth album, September 2008, 11 years ago. You just heard Sex and Fire, which was number one over here, number one purely on digital downloads, which was kind of relatively new at that point, and that was before it was released physically, of course. Written about Caleb's wife, Lily Aldridge, though Caleb nearly ditched the tune because he wasn't a fan of it. Incredible to think that, isn't it? Sex and Fire lyric was actually a massive mistake. I don't know if you know this story, but here it is. They wrote the melody and they were using the phrase "set us on fire." That was the holding phrase. Bit of a mix-up, sound mixer. He walks into a rehearsal and he thought they were singing Sex on Fire. After that, the name stuck. The rest was history. Being murdered at karaoke all around the country every night of the week. Revelry as well, that was the third single. And there was a B-side from Mark Ronson, a bit of a remix of an album track. What a tune it was as well. Now have a little listen to this. This is Closer. Really nice, isn't it? Built around Jarrah's bass line. Plenty of effects on it. And if you're interested and you're technical about these kind of things, it's a Boss ME50 multi-effects pedal. Have a little look on the internet, order yourself one. And you can make magic like this. So now you know. Some lovely messages have come in as well. Gordon, my favourite band, and I'm going to see them in Sefton Park. Travelled to Germany twice to watch them. That album's so good. Amy and Woodness. Stacey as well. Forget how good Kings of Leon are. And then Radio X goes and reminds me. You're welcome. And this one as well, Daniel Laidler. Just being three when this came out, my mum and dad playing it everywhere for the next month. You've got a good memory, Daniel. But what an album to remember your early years by. Absolutely brilliant. Kings of Leon tonight. Thoroughly enjoyed that one. I'm going to go and listen to that in my spare time.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Ezra came in for a bit of a chat just a few days back to talk about Father of the Bride, the latest album. Now, on that album, there are some very special collaborations. So when Ezra was in, I asked him all about them.
So the song I've just been listening to the most recently is This Life, and it's got Haim Sister on it. I don't know which one.
Oh, yeah.
You obviously know them very well. Can you shed some light on that for us, that collaboration?
Oh, well, that's Danielle singing backup vocals on that song. I mean, I've known her forever. I saw, and it's funny, like all these, I just have so many connections to them. I knew their original manager.
Yeah.
So I literally saw Haim play in New York some weird show in front of like five people, with me, their lawyer, a handful of people. You know, people like exaggerate sometimes, where they're like, "Oh, I saw an early show from them." There's nobody. This truly, it wasn't. It was.
Yeah.
Let me be realistic. 10 people. It's very empty. And so I knew them for such a long time, and then of course, you know, once they started touring and stuff, I'd see them around all the time, and then it turns out we share even more. They have so many friends in common, and share Ariel as a producer. So there's always been like a huge connection, and on a song like This Life, Danielle was super cool, just come downstairs and like try to throw some harmonies on, like no big deal.
That was
and that's kind of the, I like when things are casual, like this album, we have more collaborators than ever, but even then, it still doesn't quite have that like international pop feel, I don't think, because it's not like we got 3 hours to write a song together. It's like, yeah, stop by. You know, there's a real kind of almost family feel. Yeah.
So this is quite a quick question, really, but who's the dream collaborator? Because you have had a lot of collaborations on this, like Dave Longstreth, Dirty Projectors.
Yeah, yeah.
If you could make a phone call now and I was the genie in the lamp that could make it happen, who would you have? Bernie Saunders.
Maybe. Bernie has released music. It's quite interesting.
Sorry, diplomatic of you, Ezra.
Maybe it's just like getting older, but I found that now I'm so much more interested in musicians. I used to only be interested in songwriters and producers. You know, it just felt like I was a studio rat, kind of. And I'm just interested in like actual performers and just like people who really dedicate their life to one instrument. Because that's not me. That seemed very alien to me. I was like, who cares how good you are at guitar? You could just, you know, fix it in the studio. So lately I've been actually really admiring some of those like 70s fusion musicians. And I keep coming back to this performance of a Mahavishnu Orchestra. I think it might actually be on like some English TV show. And you just watch these dudes shred, and it's just bananas. And so anyway, I'll say John McLaughlin, the guitarist. You know, now I'm actually like, I'm at that point in my life where I'm just like, want to hear. That guy's got some tasteful guitar playing. I'd love to hear it.
That's a good choice. Brilliant stuff. Well, it reminded me a bit of Paul Simon, actually. And often Vampire Weekend, I can sense a bit of Paul Simon, but I think the song's beautiful. This is This Life, recorded at Islington Assembly Hall by Vampire Weekend on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
A little earlier this week, a few of us at Radio X, we undertook some classic tasks. Now, your job is to predict who won those tasks. It's as simple as that. All you've got to do is correctly work out who the winner was, and you could get 2,000 smackaroos in your pocket. That's £2,000. Now, I've been competing with Toby Tarrant and Dan O'Connell. Earlier on, Toby gave away £2,000. As you guessed, who could make the longest continuous sound? That was the challenge, right? Who could make the longest continuous sound? I won that one in spectacular style. If you don't believe me, have a little listen to this.
Yeah, I can't let Gordon and Dan have this.
Gotta beat Tarrant. Gotta beat Tarrant. Gotta beat Tarrant.
That must have won.
The lovely noise of a balloon being deflated over a large period of time. Anyway, Dan O'Connell, he gave away another £2,000 after we tried to blow up the biggest balloon whilst blindfolded. Dan won that task and I came in last. Let me explain myself. I was just a little bit worried. I was being sensible. I thought those two, they're just going to blow it to a point where it explodes. So I thought, one in the hand's better than two in the bush. Didn't work out like that. Anyway, the task we're talking about now is this. Open or try to guess what is inside a locked briefcase. So just imagine for a second, what is inside a locked briefcase? You've got to open it or try to guess what is inside. So when I walked into the studio, there were a few items lying around. There's some balloons, as you heard. There was a briefcase. There may or may not have been something lying in the corner of the studio that was helpful. Anyway, I had to work out a little plan. That's what Taskmaster's all about, making the most of the props around Lee. So, you can see a video shortly on the Radio X Twitter. But to give you an idea of how it went, and to aid your answer that I'll be looking for in a second, here's a little audio taste.
Jigsaw puzzle. Scrabble pieces. Well, I reckon the default code on these things is 000. Let's find out. Otherwise, if it's not that, what would it be? Okay. Right, how do you even begin getting into one of these? Come on. Come on. It's trolls. It's those naked trolls on the end of pencils. It's the naked trolls on the end of pencils.
Toby Tarrant there employing the same tactics and strategy he uses for everything in life. If you can't work out, just break it.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
All the chat so far has been very music-based and very sensible, but I can't resist asking him about nonsense. Here is Ezra from Vampire Weekend telling us about his rock and roll bathroom encounter in Slash Gordon.
Now, this is a really odd question, so yeah. I apologise in advance.
Okay.
But I'm writing a book, and it's kind of toilet humour, really, called Slash Gordon. It's a pun on my name.
Yeah, yeah.
And over the last 15 years or so, every time I've met a musician or an actor or a comedian,
yeah.
I've asked a bit of a curious question about awkward encounters in the bathroom. Do you have an encounter in the bathroom with a musician, with somebody famous, over all the years you've been in the band that I can add to the book?
That's a good question. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, but I'm sure you've gotten some very... variation on this, and this a lot of people this happens to, is that feeling when you meet a fan or somebody was at the show or somebody saw you and they want to say hi and you know they didn't wash their hands.
Yes,
it sounds like it from Curb Your Enthusiasm, and it might literally be a Curb Your Enthusiasm scenario, but it's real and it's happened to me, and it's a little bit like, you know, I don't want to ruin that person's.
Yeah.
Always wash my hands after, but then you got to hang in the bathroom a little bit longer. Yeah. So that certainly has happened.
Another thing, I'd love to book you as a DJ sometime. Yeah. I do this indie club night and up and down the country. But what I'd love to know is, what's your opening song? What would you play to get everybody involved? And what's your closing song?
Well, I've always been a little bit interested in this. To me, it seems like a very British phenomenon of indie disco.
Yeah.
Like maybe there's an equivalent in the US. So the indie disco. If I come in and just start dropping German techno, people would be like, mate, this is indie disco, what are you doing, right? That'd be the bad vibe.
I think I'd want that from you, Ezra.
If I just came in, they're like, everybody's expecting that I'm going to like drop A-Punk, and then I just come in like super serious and do like my Boiler Room set, and I'm just like, shut up.
Yeah.
Just dance.
Just confused people looking, where's he going with this?
Yeah, just like... I just do a trance set. That's what I would
go really extreme and play La Bamba or something.
No, no, but I would if I was truly trying to live up to the spirit of the indie disco. I don't know if this is cliche. I play like you know, New Order. Like what's a up down, turn around, please don't let me hit the ground.
Heaven 17.
I can.
Or Funboy 3, Heaven 17.
That'd be good. That'd be good stuff to play. Velvet Underground, rock and roll. I thought that's like a cool, you know, dancey song. Maybe Modern Lovers, Roadrunner, something fun like that. Right, yeah.
I think you're going to get booked.
Okay. And then I'm going to go a trance.
The manager at the back is just going like that. Money.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Ezra, thanks so much for coming
in. Thank you.
Radio X. It's lovely to see you. It's brilliant to have you back. And this is a real treat for us, A-Punk. I mean, it's a song that we get asked for all the time on Radio X. Can you give us one little bit of information about... Here's another example, right? Good Will Hunting, the film.
Right.
There's this great line when Robin Williams grabs Matt Damon by the throat, and he said, you can read every book in the world about any kind of theory, but you can't tell me what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel. So when A-Punk was being written, you know, tell me something about where that was and what was happening that nobody knows.
I probably wrote the riff on an unplugged acoustic guitar, either in my dorm room or my first apartment after college. It was right in that time. And it's one of those things, it's hard to explain, but I'm very naive on the guitar. So if I write a little something, I'm like kind of happy about it. And then one time I finally took it off guitar and played it on piano to see what I was doing. And I was like almost horrified by how simple it was. It's just like chords. It's like the way the chords are dun 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 on piano. You would never write it on piano. Yeah. And it's just one of those things where I was like, okay, it's good that I know piano, and it's good that I don't know guitar that well, because that's the only way I would have come up with that really simple riff.
And did you know it was a hit?
I thought it was a fun riff, but it was a little bit after like Oxford Comma and Cape Cod Kwasa Kwasa, some of our other early ones. So I was like, you know, like similar to anybody, fan, musician, whatever, it was the new one. So I was kind of like, is this as good as Oxford Comma from 3 months ago? I don't know. We'll see. That's what I thought.
We will see. Yeah. Thank you so much, Ezra. Vampire Weekend. And here it is. This is A-Punk. It was recorded at Islington Assembly Hall on Radio X.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
We have been undertaking some classic tasks, and you had to predict who would win. I've got a smile on my face because it's been great fun doing this. The task we were competing in tonight was open or try to guess what is inside a locked briefcase. And the key really was the fastest person to do that one, right? That was simple as that. So me, a wise old Scottish man, or Toby Tarrant, the youth policy, or Dan O'Connell, a real metrosexual sharpshooter. Who was the winner? Now, I've got three people lined up who could potentially win. Daz, who backed Toby. I worry for you, Daz. Laura, who backed Dan. And the great, the almighty Scott, who backed me. Now, these are the three people who are in contention. And right now, on Radio X, I can reveal the winner of the task to open or try to guess what's inside a locked briefcase very quickly. The winner was... it was me! Yes! Woo-hoo! Yes, that means he's already worked out a thing. Scott, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am there. I'm pretty happy.
Hold on, Scott. Is that a Scottish accent?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yes. I'm even happier. Scott, where are you in the world right now?
Hey, I'm just in Glasgow at the moment.
Oh, excellent. Scott, you are £2,000 richer as well.
So I'm pretty happy with that.
So what are you doing in Scotland right now, just to set the scene?
To be honest, I was sitting in the van listening to the radio before I went into the gym. I heard the competition, so I thought might as well give it a punt.
Good man, Scott. So listen, you're going to sack the gym off and go straight to the pub and spend the £2,000 in one go?
Possibly.
Possibly. Listen, Scott, what would you spend the £2,000 on, if you don't mind me prying?
I probably shouldn't spend it on a bike. I probably should get my van sorted first.
Yeah.
And then maybe the remainder on a bike.
Good man. That's sensible spending. Scott, what was it that made you think that I'd be the quickest to break my way into a briefcase? What gave you that sense of it being me that would win that one?
To be fair, I do listen to Toby's show and your show, and I was figuring you were probably the brains in that one.
It's not really that much of a compliment, is it really? But Scott, appreciate it. Congratulations winning the £2,000. Spend it wisely, and thanks again for listening and entering the competition. Good man.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
You're listening to Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. Been celebrating Vampire Weekend tonight, and there's loads still to come. John Kennedy will have a full album playback with Ezra in just under an hour's time. And you know what? We got Ezra talking about the Stone Roses, but before we get into that, JK, speaking of the great man, celebrated the Roses last weekend on the 30th anniversary of the release of their debut album. So when Ezra was in, we wondered and we asked if they'd played a part in his musical development. Here he is, Ezra from Vampire Weekend, talking about his baggy themes.
I think what's interesting about that album is I've only come to appreciate it more truly, like, now. I'm checking it out more and more, because definitely didn't hear it growing up. As far as I understand it, you know, I was only a small child at the time, but I don't think that album was particularly big in America. Maybe, like, real music people were like, oh, this is a cool album from England. But most people don't really know Stone Roses that well. And then the first song I ever heard was Fool's Gold, so then I had this feeling of like, oh, is that the sound of the Stone Roses? It's kind of like, you know, drum loops and like James Brown with like a like funky extended things. And then when I heard later, like the, I guess what you might call like the indie stuff, I was like, oh, they really were a rock band. I didn't understand it. So yeah, I didn't have a lot of context for it. And I always love, the one thing that I admire since looking them up is that they've released so little music. Because I feel like, we took 6 years with our last record, and I still sometimes wonder if that was too soon. But I've always really admired anybody who kind of does their thing and says, you know what, we'll do this again when we feel like it. And, you know, from reading about them, it's amazing. Like, they nailed it with their first album, then they made a second, and then they that was it for a really long time.
Yeah, two singles after that, and that was it.
But I kind of love stuff like that. There's not enough of that, where people make their statement so well, and then just don't force it, you know? So that's always been very fascinating to me about that band.
Spot on.
Ezra from Vampire Weekend, remember to check out that John Kennedy show where he went back with some of the people who were involved in the album and loads of artists who had their say. That was Ezra from Vampire Weekend. And remember, this song was on the American release of that debut album from the Stone Roses, the outstanding Fool's Gold. Radio X.